TheTalkingHeads.com.
And a very good Tuesday afternoon to you folks. Thank you for listening to The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam Lepp here, Adam the Computer Guy, as promised, in your radio, in your listening device, and if you're watching on live Facebook video, also available through that method. We are taking your phone calls, and with this program, we kind of leave it up to you to decide the topic. Technology is generally what we have addressed, and that's fine. You have a question about your computer. Maybe your smartphone isn't very smart. In fact, maybe it's just downright stupid. Maybe your tablet is not performing up to par. Maybe your printer isn't printing, your server isn't serving, and your monitor is only monitoring your headaches. I've been there myself, and if that is the problem, give me a call. I'll be happy to try to troubleshoot it for you. And the phone number here at the station is 740-383-WWGH, and WWGH, that comes to 9944. And I would very much love to hear from you. We can also talk about politics, if you'd like to talk about masks and shutdowns, vaccinations, you know, all the controversial stuff. Well, I would be happy to speak to you about that. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. If you do agree with me, well, that's fine too. If everybody agreed, the world would be rather boring. We can talk about the Judge Warner case. As you probably know, I have called the Scott Spears radio extravaganza many times and discussed my opinion of said case of said former judge, and it certainly has been a large news story here in Mid-Ohio, and unfortunately not a positive one, but that's kind of how news goes. Not all the stories are happy ones. Go ahead and take a phone call here. See if I got the controls working. Good afternoon. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program.
Hello, Adam.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm fine. And you?
I am somewhat superb, kind of deciding how much snow we're going to get. If you heard Scott's show, I predicted between 2 and 3 inches, 2 inches in town and 3 inches in the more rural surrounding areas, so I think people are placing bets as we speak.
Well, I don't know. I think probably we're going to get it, but so much of it's going to melt. You can get it, but that doesn't mean that it will.
Yeah, in this time of the year, we're having 13 hours of daylight plus more twilight, and the ground is warmer. But if it's coming from the sky and it's under 32 degrees, it's going to be in a solid form or a mushy form of some kind. And I said, if you want the same weather every day,
well,
move to Miami, because I like the variety.
And like I always tell everybody, you've heard we always get 3 snows after the forsythia blooms.
Yeah, I think I've heard that.
Well, this would be the second, so we'll see.
Yeah, we've had snow as late as like the first week or second week of May. That's been measurable, and that'll happen. It won't be every year.
Right, that's why you shouldn't really be putting anything out before Mother's Day, at least.
Yeah, I guess it was 80 degrees, I could have sworn, a couple weeks ago. We were all getting ready to go swimming, and now it's...
I know, what you said this morning, that we can have everything in April. We can have winter, spring, summer.
Yeah, I like the variety. I mean, it'd be nice to have summer every day if you're in Honolulu or Fort Lauderdale or South Texas, but... You like the changeability, plus you appreciate it a lot more. And also we have longer days in the late spring and early summer than they do in the south.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, you know, northern Alaska, they have 24 hours of daylight in June. So we don't have quite that much, but we have twilight till almost 10 p.m., and that's not too bad. Right now twilight's going till about 9, and I'll take it. I'm kind of an evening person.
Well, I've been meaning to get a hold of you for some time because... Oh, I don't know, maybe for 6 or 8 months now, my little finger pad on my laptop doesn't work. And I have to use a mouse, and I hate that mouse. I really prefer the little finger pad. Now, Adam, do those get dirty or do they break?
Well, multiple things can happen. And with a laptop, they're kind of like your smartphone or like your tablet because everything is so scrunched together. They're fine until something goes wrong. Certainly we recommend that you keep your computer equipment clean, and with a keyboard and a laptop where everything is kind of in the same package, Nothing fancy. Q-tips work great between the keys. Even a little folded sheet of paper, I've used that. If you can shake it out just very gently, obviously, you might just find dust and other other gunk.
Canned
air works wonders.
This little pad thing, you know how close it is. You can't even get anything.
Yeah, and it has a little, it has that border, the bezel, and things could get into that.
Well, now, can a person open that and try to clean it themselves? Or how do you know?
unless you have really good dexterity, and you also need these little screwdrivers, and it's usually a small Torx screw or almost like a pinpoint kind of a device.
Uh-huh.
You can take the computer apart. Now, of course, they're all a little bit different. You would probably have little Phillips screws that are in the bottom of the computer. Unscrew them, and then you can pull the back out, and you can probably, at that point, pull the keyboard and touchpad out, but it might involve taking out some other components. And again, you have to have good dexterity. That's not really one of my strong points, but I surprise myself sometimes. So get a flashlight so it's easy to see everything. There may be some cables you have to detach. And the touchpad, again, you might find that the bezel just has some gunk on it. I mean, just grease from your fingers. I mean, dust. I mean, who knows?
Well, I know I've tried to run my fingernail around it and all that, you know, because I admit, you know, the keyboard top does get dusty, and it does. And after my daughter-in-law told me that it often happens with children's computers, I thought, uh-oh, that means that little sticky hands probably gum it up. So perhaps
a lot of my service calls are people's grandson or granddaughter maybe thought they could fix a computer, or maybe were doing a few things they shouldn't have, or visited some websites that maybe they shouldn't have visited, and problems can mushroom from there. I mean, it can be taken apart. I've done it before. And, of course, some laptops are more difficult than others. But if it's a bigger laptop where the parts, not quite as easy as a desktop, where the parts can be separated more easily, it's not quite as bad, then you got to put it back together again, which is probably
well,
the worst
I guess
job.
I'm a little scared because my computer is working now, you know.
Right.
It's a Lenovo.
Is it a Lenovo Yoga by chance?
Because
those are is it a Lenovo Yoga by chance or a bigger Lenovo?
It's bigger.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Yogas are the smaller ones, and they're really hard to work with because everything is so stretched.
Oh, no, it's larger, Adam. Okay. It's just larger. But I was just curious as to if you thought that chances are that it's dirty and simply needs cleaned, or if those go bad, you know.
Cleaning is the first step. One other issue is a fan. The laptop fan or desktop fan can get noisy, so just get some of that canned air. You can get get that at Walmart for $4, and just it's got a little straw attached, so just spray it, and it should be able to clean the fan. But sometimes the fan goes bad, or possibly a connector came off, or some of the solder melted or got chipped off. That's where it gets more hairy. I think what you're doing with the fingernail is a good idea. You can take a sheet of paper and try to run it across the edge of the bezel. Anything else, I can keep the keyboard clean because that can allow parts, dust, and whatever just to get inside the computer.
Right, and everything gets in there, doesn't it? Even if you don't have food around it or anything. Okay, well, I've been curious about meaning to call you, and that's what I wanted to know.
No, we really, really appreciate it. Hopefully that's been helpful. I mean, it just depends how daring you are, but we recommend to everybody get a can of canned air. It works wonders. And turn the computer off and just blow and all the around the keyboard and around the touchpad. It might just catch something which has caused the problem. And if the touchpad is actually bad, you can replace it. But that job is not is definitely for people with good dexterity who can remember how he goes into B.
Okay, Ed. Well, I appreciate your help.
No problem. Thanks for calling and thanks for listening. We
appreciate that.
Have a good day. Adam here on The Talking Place on the Adam the Computer Guy radio extravaganza. Again, we're offering technical support. Any questions you have about your computer, maybe it's not computing. Maybe your laptop is anything from the tops in ease of use and quality. Maybe your monitor is only monitoring your headaches. Maybe your printer is only printing gibberish. And again, maybe your cell phone, you'd like to sell it to the nearest bidder, but of course, if it's not working well, you probably won't get very much for it. And last but not least, maybe your smartphone is a dumb phone, or it's a smart phony, because it's not much of a device to begin with. Adam, the computer guy here, we get together every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday to talk technology, politics, and anything else that might tickle your fancy. You can go ahead and give me a call here at the station. That's 740-383-9944. Also broadcasting a live video on my Facebook page. Look up Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp in Ohio. I do have a guest in the studio with me, and he actually was on the first show that I ever did here at the station. I don't know, like 5 years ago. Time flies when you get older, as my mama always said. He's been on with me periodically, but he has returned. And we want to welcome him back to our microphones. He hasn't been to this studio yet. He was actually at the mall studio last time that he graced our microphones. Let me see if I have the right device. We call those pots. Now, I know that it's 420 today, and I don't mean that kind of pot. Pot is, I think, short for potentiometer, and that's what we call the little slider things. It's radio talk that allow you to control the volume and who is speaking to whom. So Brandon Oak, who is this gentleman's name, we're going to talk a little bit and welcome him back to WWGH. Brandon, can you verify that the microphone's working? Just put it about 4 inches from your mouth and let me know how it sounds.
Well, I think it works, didn't you?
Okay, go ahead and talk. Just talk for a few seconds here.
Let's see what's going on there today. I don't know.
Okay, that's good. So, looks, yeah, just put it a little louder and a little bit closer to your mouth, and we will be all set. We are still doing some housekeeping and some odds and ends with our new and improved radio studio on South Prospect Street here in the great city of Marion, Ohio. Now, Brandon, you have not seen the studio before. I would say it's quite a bit cooler than the mall studio. Would you agree? Or?
Oh, I much prefer it, actually.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, just talk a little louder for me. That microphone isn't as loud. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe because I'm kind of loud, but that's okay. We just want to be sure our folks can hear you. So, Brandon, you've been on with me many times, including the first time that I took the microphone back in, I don't know, 2016 or 2017 or something like that.
It's been a long time.
And did you have any topics you wanted to talk to me about, or maybe invite our listeners to call about?
I mean, as you mentioned before, I mean, if you want to, you know, talk about the whole mask controversy, as it were, but, you know.
We do accept calls, again, about masks and shutdowns and other things related to the COVID-19 issue. Is the cure, it's kind of hot in here, so I'll just unzip my coat here. Is the cure worse than the problem? Do we see an end? What are the priorities? What are the rights of governors and other officials to do? Have they overstepped their boundaries?
I mean, it is mostly perspective, I would suppose, but I would say to an extent, especially with our own Governor DeWine, I do believe he might have overstepped just a bit just for publicity's sake, more or less.
So you think it's kind of a publicity issue. Now, I see this, Brandon, as a nonpartisan issue. As I tell people, I am nonpartisan. I don't believe in political parties, and I am far left on some things, and I'm far right on others. And the middle, as well as on issues I feel that are nonpartisan, like the death penalty, I feel is not a partisan issue. I don't think that the mask issue is partisan, although it does seem like the anti-mask people tend to be more conservative, although not necessarily. To me, it's keep your laws off my body. As I tell people, and this might be unusual, I am as pro-choice as I am anti-mask. I don't think that abortion is a good thing or should be encouraged, and it's not a form of birth control, but I believe that it's a woman's right to decide what to do. And it's an unfortunate decision. That's why I say I'm not pro-abortion, I am pro-choice. And I put that in the category of keep your laws off of my body. And that applies to two other things. And that's how I see the mask issue. I don't see selfishness if you are not a mask enthusiast. The issue about how serious COVID is, are diagnoses necessarily accurate, or are there other factors? That to me is a similar but not the same issue, as I think with respect to our body and how we present ourselves, how we dress, and how we look at our natural immunity or protection versus what can be added to our natural health. That's a personal decision, and that's how I see it. And again, many people don't agree, some people do, and I think we all agree that it's been over-dramatized, and we're certainly tired of the entire issue, but we don't want to downplay the seriousness. So it's it's a difficult thing to talk about, but I do see a lot of changes in the way that we interpret the world and the way that we live our lives day to day. And we have to kind of take everything into account and delineate and make analyses and also decide if the government has overstepped their bounds and how much of it is political. Is that kind of coincident, Brandon, with how that you feel, or anything you want to add to that?
It just seems, seems to me that every so often when there's an election, so to speak, there's something that comes around and seems to tie in, as it were. It seems about every 4 years. Again, it just seems to me that it seems to be a running theme.
We've heard the election year flu, and is this the election year flu? Is it something more serious? Well, it's up for debate. I certainly agree that it's a serious health issue, but how do we go about it? As we have serious health issues all the time, and we don't want to let politics get in the way of keeping people healthy, and I think we could all agree that it's done that. Even the staunchest mask and shutdown supporters, I think would agree with that. And to me, again, it is a freedom of choice. Keep your laws off my body. But again, it's a multifaceted issue because I also don't believe that masks are effective. In fact, I believe they're actually detrimental. If they're worn properly, they have some value. But is it worth that value based upon the hindrance that they are, the effect on the economy and our way of life? And the fact that they're not usually worn properly, they end up spreading disease. I think with a naturally healthy person, it's not going to make a tremendous difference. But I think it can. And again, that's not even including the inconvenience factor and all the hype and the he said, she said. And it's really brought a lot of divisiveness into the world. And it's a shame that people can't always agree on this. And we're just seeing these two camps. And as I see it, this is the most or one of the most important issues facing the country right now. We have a drug problem. We have a crime problem. The economy, employment. But the arguments about losses of our freedom, losses of our rights, that's a biggie also. And it's a derivative of that also. It's not just are we losing our rights, it's the fact that people aren't agreeing and that we brought so much divisiveness. We really should all be on the same team. We're all human beings, and in the United States we're all Americans. But it seems like we have side A and side B. And that's not the America that I know and love. Did you want to add to that, Brandon? I see you sitting there kind of thinking and going into deep cerebralism, if that's a word.
Well, like you said, obviously this is a big issue, but I don't think it is what it's been purported to be, because it just seems that every other issue has just vanished. And I think people really should pay a little bit less attention to the news and just kind of have free thinking and, you know.
Yeah, we call this MSM or mainstream media. Do people listen, believe everything that they hear? And do you believe Dr. Fauci? Do you think he is telling us exactly what he thinks is good for us, or is he politicizing, or is there something else going on? Everybody's got a slightly different opinion, and if you read my Facebook posts and you hear my occasional discussions on the radio, you probably know how I feel. And we do invite your phone calls. If you don't agree with me, if you think that I'm wrong, you think that I'm being selfish by my mask viewpoint, that's cool. I respect all opinions. 740-383-9944. You want to ask a technology question like the lady who called earlier, that's fine too. Or if you want to talk about a different topic, baseball season. You know, the Reds are doing okay. I'm a big Reds fan. There's obviously controversy in professional sports. If you want to talk about the weather, are we going to get 3 to 5 inches of snow tonight after it was 80 degrees a couple weeks ago? Do you want to talk about the Warner case? As I called Scott about earlier, Jason Warner's mugshot now proudly graces the DRC website. So if you'd like to view that, that would be fine. You know, the Internet, and you know, Brandon, we discuss this a lot. The Internet kind of gives you a right to be nosy. I mean, this is public information. Mugshots have been around for a while. But the fact that I could sit there, you know, in my PJ, so to speak, while I'm drinking my coffee and, of course, listening to Scott, because I've been kind of obsessed with the Scott Spear show for the last few weeks, because his show is just so good. So if you don't listen, you know, you're missing out on some very good radio. But anyway, while I'm doing that, sitting in my PJs, drinking my coffee, I can pull up a website and 3 or 4 seconds later, see this mugshot and take a look at the charges and even go to links that'll tell you what the charges were specifically and what the penalties are. I mean, you know, Brandon, you're old enough, you know, you're a generation younger than I am, but you're young enough to remember when that wasn't quite that easy. And is it a good thing? Do we want to be sure that the government and every other place that has publicly available information is accountable to the public, and that you and I, whether we're nosy or we're doing research for school or work, or we want to find out maybe about a friend or family member, is that a good thing that all this information is available to us like that, snap of a finger? Or maybe we need to slow down a bit and make it a little more difficult?
Well, when it comes to public figures, I'd say the more exposure, especially in cases like this, because, like you said, it wasn't nearly as accessible even 10 years ago. I guess the more we know about, you know, who's running our government and so on, you know, public office and all that, probably the better off we might be, just to kind of see who they really are. Now, when it comes to members and family looking up history, that's obviously, it's not the same case, but it is nice to be able to do that at your fingertips, so to speak.
Yeah, there's good and bad. And, you know, with me being a computer guy, I make it a hobby of finding things online that I can search for. You probably see the commercials where you can buy this website, buy a subscription, where you can just type information in to get background checks, etc. And people say, I even checked myself and found some wrong information. Well, that'll happen. Sometimes you'll find something attached to somebody, especially if you have an unusual name. You know, my name's pretty unusual, but if your name is John Smith, you might find that the wrong John Smith is attached to the wrong information. And that can certainly happen. And it's not funny if it happens to you. So accuracy and fact-checking, I think, is real important. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, broadcasting online through the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com, taking your telephone calls at 740-383-WWGH. Again, politics, baseball, other sports, the community, the Warner case, the weather, name a topic, we're all for it. I have Brandon Oak in the studio with me after an absence of a few months, talking about life and other things that might tickle his fancy. As we talked about earlier, it is April 20th, 2021. It is 420, and as people who use the internet probably know, that 420 is a colloquial or slang word for marijuana. I believe it was originally the code for pot possession being a violation in California. Now, pot is to a limited extent legal in California, so that's not really relevant, but they still use the word 420, the term 420, and of course that is also the date. The cannabis industry, a rapidly growing industry where cannabis or pot is grown legally for recreational use in states where it's legal, and I believe Michigan is the closest state to here where it is legal, as well as Canada. Not a state, but, you know, Windsor, Ontario isn't too far from here in Marion. And even in Ohio, we have medical marijuana, which is legal, but we're not quite at the recreational level, though I think we will within a few years. The cannabis industry. Again, an industry which we hear a lot about, a lot of people investing in marijuana-related stocks. It is obviously happy with it being the 20th of April. This is probably the favorite day of the cannabis industry's year. However, many insiders have made a special request. Don't refer to it as marijuana. Now, Brandon, if you have any comments while I talk, feel free to interject. I've left your microphone on. Although that's been the most popular name of the plant for a century, cannabis insiders, including Daniel Madia Hayden of Extractioneering.com, an Oregon-based pot brand, think it should be retired. He said any term applied to cannabis other than cannabis is negligent and abusive behavior that we don't like. The term marijuana is a Mexican slur, although it is tolerated when combined with the word medical for specific purposes, or medical marijuana. Now, the term marijuana, again, it does look like a Spanish word, as the J is pronounced like an H. It originates from Mexican Spanish, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. And as you folks probably know, language is one of my interests. Language, spelling, arithmetic, those are all my cups of tea. So when you start talking about language and word origins, etymology, that definitely tickles a few brain cells from yours truly. Anyway, The term marijuana, and I didn't know this, was used by racist politicians who first criminalized cannabis precisely because they wanted to underscore that it was a Latino, particularly Mexican, vice. And that word, with all of its implications, has become the most common name for cannabis today in the United States. Now, the racism is still present. In 2016, Hispanics received 77% of federal marijuana sentences, despite making up 17% of the population. 4 years ago, Kenneth Romero Cruz of the National Hispanic Caucus of State Legislators said that anti-Latino reasons are why cannabis was criminalized in the 1930s, and that the criminalization has disproportionately affected Latinos and other people of color. People in the modern cannabis industry, like Catherine Dockery, are shifting away from the M word. So marijuana branded is now the M word. I honestly, before I saw this, was not aware of that. I know it has a Spanish origin, but we maybe want to rethink some of this.
Possibly, but that's kind of retroactively trying to take something back. But I mean, as someone who's been around people, I've never seen anybody be so-called offended by that name.
Right, and sometimes we need to take a second look at it. Are we being oversensitive, or is there some reasoning here? And it is it's a slippery slope. It's a gray area, whatever you want to call it.
Well, it's hard to do. I mean, it's kind of like people act like they wouldn't do as what other people did, let's say, 30 years ago, but yet you can't just go back and change because you would have been exactly the same, I think. So.
Right, and standards have changed. The idea that marijuana would be legal for recreational purposes was not something we thought would happen, at least in our lifetime. If you would have asked that to me, you know, when I was in high school, I would have said, no way, marijuana, although it's not overly dangerous, it's not physically addictive like cocaine or heroin and others, or even cigarettes or alcohol, even coffee. It does have some rather serious effects on how you go about your day.
And just like anything, I mean, obviously, there are people that will disagree to agree that there's no real limits to it, but everything, again, it is in moderation, and this comes from people who I know use it consistently. Like, there is a limit, so it's not
right.
Just free things.
And it's an interesting drug, as in moderate quantities. It's a bit like alcohol, or maybe a bit like coffee, and then it kind of gives you a lift, kind of makes you feel good. Then it can do many things, even a hallucinogen, and especially if you combine it with other drugs. A synergistic effect, as you really shouldn't get drunk and get high at the same time. It's kind of one drug at a time. And again, you shouldn't be driving if you're on marijuana or on many prescription medications. Marijuana also has different effects if you eat it or if you smoke it or if you vape it. There are different strains of marijuana, so it's not quite as cut and dry as alcohol, where you just look at the percentage of alcohol in your beer or vodka or whatever. And everybody's effect is a little bit different. So, you know, the idea of the marijuana science behind it is quite fascinating. And as marijuana becomes more socially acceptable, more legal, and especially here in Ohio, we have medical marijuana, we need to kind of fine-tune our viewpoint and maybe take a second look at a couple things. So anyway, Catherine Dockery, she works with Vice Ventures, a venture capital firm investing in the cannabis industry. And she said, people are shifting away from the M word. Now, she said her fund strongly prefers the term cannabis over marijuana, as it doesn't carry the same historical context of racism. She is okay with other slang terms, though. My father calls it reefer. And reefer is kind of an interesting word, Brandon, because reefer is also a colloquial or slang word for a truck with refrigeration. You might know that. I've done work for logistics companies, transportation companies, and I had not heard that term before. And the guy mentioned, if it's a reefer, I said, well, that doesn't make any sense, because reefer means pot or it could be a joint. A reefer is a refrigerated truck, like one that might deliver milk or ice cream or beer, other frozen treats. So not to be confused with the other slang definition of reefer. So anyway, this lady, Catherine Dockery, she's with a venture capital firm investing in the cannabis industry, she says her father calls it reefer, and that we should maybe phase out the use of the M word, or marijuana. And she said that when her dad says that, it occasionally makes her laugh. Adrian Sedlin is with Candescent. That's a California-based firm. And Adrian said, cannabis is a better term. Marijuana has a history interlaced with racism. Cannabis is about harmony and acceptance. In fact, he said he's not a fan of most of the terms that originated before 1990. Weeds can be ugly and destructive, so he doesn't like the term weed either. And I'm not a big fan either, as, you know, weed is kind of a gray area because it's really not a weed if you like it. So even dandelions, people can eat dandelions. You can make wine out of them. So although they grow kind of crazy, and we have plenty of dandelions right now in this area. If you like them, they really aren't a weed. And if you do like them, well, yeah, you can definitely do some productive things with them. And think about pot is it's not a very hard plant to grow. It does require warmth and some other cultivation. But the idea of it being called weed, because it's not overly hard to grow. And sometimes people, they are surprised when they find out that it might be growing in their yard. Because again, just like with any plants, the seeds can travel, they can blow in the wind and take up root somewhere else. But I never really liked that term, so I'm kind of with this gentleman here that weed is not one of the best terms of pot. In fact, he said that pot is short for potación de guaya, an alcoholic beverage that means drunk of grief. Didn't even know that either. So you learn all kinds of things here on the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Extravaganza. And again, today being 420, I think a discussion of marijuana, and it's a lighter topic than the other topics that have been going around of late. I think it is interesting. Libby Cooper is with a California-based cannabis brand called Space Coyote. And she admits that there are some terms for THC and pot, cannabis, which just can't quit. She said, I will always love calling it weed, and will forever refer to it as such in our brand language. I believe that the slang you use for cannabis is a marker for when you were probably in high school and first exposed to the plant. That said, I am pretty partial to, quote, the devil's lettuce as well, because it's hilarious. Now, you've heard that term, Brandon, the devil's lettuce. Now, that's not too bad. It's a little sarcastic. It has a bit of a lettucey consistency to it. What do you think about the devil's lettuce?
Well, I mean, what's next? Are we going to offend the vegan Satan worshippers? I mean, that's kind of where it's going. Terms are terms.
I guess you could look at it that way. There's always a fly in the ointment, isn't there? Chris Vaughn is with the MJ Cannabis Delivery Service. Now, here in Marion, Brandon, we have DoorDash and Uber Eats, where you can get food, and now you can get some alcoholic beverages delivered. In places where it's legal, there is a cannabis delivery service. That would be an interesting thing to deliver. I don't know anybody who personally is a cannabis delivery boy or delivery girl, but it might be a interesting occupation to interview somebody about. Certainly that is a 2020, 21, and later newfangled type of avocation. Anyway, Chris Vaughn is the CEO of MJ, which is a cannabis delivery service. Brandon, they are to cannabis like Domino's is to pizza. Of course, you may want to order a Domino's pizza after using cannabis, because one thing it does do is give you the munchies. So maybe they kind of work together. You order the cannabis, you use it, and an hour or two later, you're on the phone to Domino's.
That should be a new marketing thing. Domino's and, you know, whatever they want to call the other company. That'd be a great team up.
Or some Krispy Kreme or you know, White Castle. That's a place that people kind of get cravings for. So, yeah, maybe they should collaborate. Anyway, this gentleman said that although he favors the terms weed and cannabis, he can't deny that some of the old words from the reefer madness era are pretty funny. Like jazz cabbage. I've never heard of it. Have you heard of that one, Brandon? Jazz cabbage?
I believe once or twice, but it's more of the rare term, so to speak.
Yeah, that's not one I've heard of before. He just doesn't like the word marijuana anymore. It just feels like a criminalized version of the plant today. Now, April 20th, which is today, I think it's, yeah, it's, just be sure it's the 20th, because, you know, as my mama said, time goes by fast when you get older. And, you know, every day I get a little older. Doesn't mean I don't get better, it just means I get older. Anyway, April 20th has become a day of celebration in the cannabis culture. The origin story goes that the term began with a group of California high school students designated the time of 4:20 p.m. as a time to search for a supposed hidden crop in the 1970s. The 4:20 shorthand also refers to getting high on any given day at 4:20. And didn't it originate, though, as a criminal code brand? And that's what I thought it was. And in California, it was like the criminal number for a marijuana possession. That's what I heard. But, you know, there's all these legends behind a lot of these terms, so you never quite know.
I think that's probably why I don't think it should be as criminalized as they say, because it is so common. But people take terms nowadays that they've decriminalized them, so to speak. So it's all a matter of what you grew up with, I guess, really.
I mean, I just say pot. That's my term. Probably because it's easy to say.
Oh, then we'll offend the kitchen industry next.
And you've worked in the restaurant industry, so, you know, pot, okay, it's got different terms. Do you have a favorite term for marijuana or cannabis, since marijuana maybe become déclassé? Are you a pot person like I am, or what kind of words do you normally use?
Well, with let's say you and I are fans of this shows from the 70s, game shows, the big term is grass, because you could still say that. That's still a favorite, just because it's still kind of like, you couldn't really say it, but people know exactly what you're
saying. Yeah, or green sometimes,
yeah,
even though
too.
It's green before you dry it, and then you use it for its intended purpose. So, yeah, I just had not heard that before, but it's worth some thought. You know, you and I, we're not too big on the political correct movement, but some of the words I do agree with, and we may need to rethink them. And this I can understand. So it'll be an interesting point to ponder. Adam Lepp here, live on the air at WWGH Radio, taking your telephone calls. Again, it's 4:20 day if you want to discuss your opinion about colloquial terms for what some people call the devil's lettuce. That's fine with me. Any predictions as to when you think recreational marijuana or recreational cannabis will be legal here in the Buckeye State? I'd be interested in hearing your opinions. Have you been to a state or a country where it is legal? Have you been to Michigan? Or have you been to Oregon or other places where it's been legalized? And what is it like? Colorado has had legalized pot for quite a while. And we joke about John Denver singing Rocky Mountain High. Is that song about what we think it might be about, gathering around the campfire? Well, maybe it is. John Denver, we lost him at an early age, and I think he's up in heaven there, kind of wondering himself, has my great tune been possibly reinterpreted? Coming up to about 8 minutes before 3 here on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Let you know that we have many great programs here at the radio station, not just my program. Every weekday morning between 8 a.m. and 10, we welcome to our microphones Scott Spears, whom I call the interviewer to the stars. And you might say, why do I call him the interviewer to the stars? Well, this past year, he's had Phil Donahue, Ed Asner, Dr. Ruth, other famous celebrities grace these microphones. He speaks with the mayor, the police chief, the sheriff, prosecutor Grogan. They had many excellent opinions about the recent Warner case and about other things going on in Marion. So don't want to miss that program. Of course, he takes your call. Sometimes he plays Family Feud. And again, take a look at our website, WWGH1071.com. Go to the Scott Spears Morning Show section to take a look at all the people that he has talked to in the last year or two. It is quite amazing, to say the least. And again, he takes your phone calls. I call regularly because I've been listening to the show a lot with your opinions, questions, comments, suggestions, or anything else that might tickle your fancy. If you miss a program, go to our website, WWGH1071.com. See, Jody has said that there's no audio on my Facebook feed. I'm not quite sure why. I'll take a look at that, Jody. I appreciate your comment. I don't know. We are definitely broadcasting on the air. I certainly hope so, as I was actually able to get the station about 15 miles southwest of town, closer to Marysville than Marion, and we were coming in right in where Delaware County meets Union County on Route 4. So that was quite impressive. And anyway, if you listen online, you can do so through our website, wwgh1071.com, or get the TuneIn app and listen that way. Or if you're in Marion, plus or minus 15 miles from downtown, you can listen the old-fashioned way, 107.1 megahertz FM or frequency modulation. So in addition to Scott Spears gracing the microphones every morning during the week between about 8, 10 a.m. and 10, we have Glenn Coble, who speaks with our official presidentologist and resident political commentator, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman. I know you're a big fan of his, Brandon. That's between about 12:10 p.m. and 1 on Wednesday afternoon. And he has Swap Shop and other political talk on Thursday between approximately 12:10 p.m. and 1. Occasionally, he also has guests. And we have the lovely Linda Sims. She will be gracing these microphones between about 12 minutes after 4 and 5 this afternoon. And she's also on every Monday with great talk, great guests, a longtime broadcasting icon here in Marion. Don't want to miss Linda's show. Definitely your brain cells and ears and other body parts associated with listening to the radio will be very thankful. One thing also I'd like to tell people is, just like Hillary and Melania, we have a private email server. And the private email server is curated, hosted, troubleshooted, I guess that's a word, and in general, taken care of by yours truly. So you know that it's got to be good. And how do you email one of the station members at said private email server, you ask? Well, my email address is adam@wwgh1071.com. And if you want to email Scott, I'm sure he'd love to hear from you between his duties of interviewing all these famous people and doing programming here at this great station. His email address is scott@wwgh1071.com. Also, if you would like to be a supporter of the Adam the Computer Guy radio program, you will get regular mentions on my show. You will get mentions on our website and on Facebook, and of course receive promotional announcements multiple times during the day. That would be wonderful. You'll be surprised how inexpensive it is, and a lot of people listen to this radio station, and a lot of people also listen to our programs after we've aired them and we've taped them. So get in touch with me, and we can talk about it. Again, it's well worth your money and time. You'll be doing something good for the community. Adam@wwgh1071.com. We'll have to take a look at that Facebook video, as I have reported from our good friend of the station, Jody, that there is no audio, but that the app sounds okay. Thank you for letting me know, Jody. I will figure it out. You know, even computer guys have technical problems. Even lawyers need lawyers. Even doctors need doctors. And even computer people have computer issues. That's just the way that it goes. James Anderson is a local naturalist and a good friend to this station. You know, he listens a lot. He will be on the air with Glenn on April 29th. So that will be Thursday of next week between 10 a.m. and noon. So if you've made plans, social plans, or other things that you plan on doing between 10 a.m. and noon Thursday of next week, please cancel them, because James is a very knowledgeable, personable naturalist, and he's got a good sense of humor, so he's always fun. Rumor has it he might be bringing a member of the animal kingdom that is not a member of the species Homo sapiens, and that always adds to the fun. And he'll be on with Glenn again Thursday of next week between about maybe 12 minutes after 10, after the features, and noon, discussing all the great wildlife here in Marion and the surrounding area. And more than likely also taking your calls, questions, comments, etc. Tallgrass Trail, one of the great natural resources here in the Marion area. And James, he is a walking encyclopedia on all that stuff. On the 20th of April, which is today, how about that? At 6 p.m. at the Tallgrass Trail. Again, that's going to be in about 3 hours. You can listen to Frog and Toad Calls at the Tallgrass Trail. Again, it's 6 p.m. today on the 20th. It'll start at the Hur Road parking lot. Also on April 29th, There is a spring wildflower hike at Myers Woods at 5 p.m. So great things to do to explore the beautiful environs of Marion, natural flora and fauna. And again, we have many smart people who enjoy interacting with the public, like James, who are happy to show you more about that and help you explore and learn about and get excited about the beautiful natural resources in this beautiful area. Adam Lepp about ready to say goodbye, and I do want to thank all of you fine folks for listening to me. The Adam the Computer Guy radio program is in your radio or other listening device on Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3 Eastern Time, and also we get together Monday for mid-morning coffee break, 10:13 a.m. until 11. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.